me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I'm John.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
Hello, hello. We're back again. Welcome to the 6DOS podcast. Kevin,
yes!
How are you?
I feel great.
I feel wonderful.
We're flying high on bourbon.
As always.
Yes. Well, and at least any time we're talking about Arnold,
that's right.
We got to enjoy the finer things.
That's right. We can't smoke a cigar in your house, so we're going to have some bourbon instead.
So we just knocked down a glass of Castle and Key.
Delicious.
Very good stuff. It's a newer label, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to the old classic,
yeah.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger of bourbons.
What would the Arnold Schwarzenegger of bourbons be?
No, it's got to be something very strong.
Yeah.
Maybe like
Something like 115
like
proof.
Taylor, you know, like
that'd
unfiltered or
that'd
whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
this is a little sweeter. This is is that Woodford Double Oaked, which is it's a good one to go to and revisit just because there's a lot happening. It's syrupy smooth and delicious.
It's the dessert bourbon.
It is, yeah. It is their dessert bourbon.
It is, and it is amazing. I haven't had a glass of this in probably a year.
It's good stuff.
Yeah,
I love it. I love returning to it because it's like revisiting an old friend.
So, speaking of old friends, shout out Jacqueline in London, who should be listening. If not, then she owes me an ice cold Coca-Cola.
There you go.
I don't know. And shout out to everyone else who's listening out there in podcast land.
Yes, we appreciate
old it. Old friends and new listeners on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network and people who are listening on the old school 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger feed. We love you all equally.
Heck yes. Like you're our own children.
Yes. So, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about 1996's Eraser. Always a special occasion when we're talking about an Arnold movie.
Yeah, definitely.
On the podcast. We're more than halfway through his catalog, I feel like. So I'm trying to like ration them out, but we still got some awesome ones we got to get to. I'm fucking stoked to do Jingle All the Way one day.
That'll be our special holiday ish.
I think it should.
Edition.
I think we
definitely
should do that. And Kindergarten Cop, I can't wait to do. That fucking shit's crazy. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
He's not a tumor.
Did you watch the hell out of that movie?
Oh yeah, that was one that was on regular rotation in our house growing up.
Our mom says that our dad is a real sex machine.
It's because it's like that
calm
movie
down.
It was one of those movies like maybe the precursor of like Disney Pixar stuff where it's like a movie for children but that was also for adults because the humor is kind of like what?
Yeah,
plus there was also murders and shit in it, like graphic murders, but
not so tough without your car, are
that
you
that line fucks. Like, yes. She was amazing, the woman that played his partner in that movie.
My dad is a gynecologist. He looks at vaginas
all
day.
Oh, so man. Good.
It is. It's like, and speaking of movies where he had like good romantic chemistry with the co-star,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he and Penelope Ann Miller had a nice chemistry
in that movie. They really, really did.
Because it doesn't always work out. This movie, Eraser, though we haven't seen a scene with Arnold and Vanessa Williams together yet, it is an example of one where romance is not there.
She's not in the movie a whole lot for her to be the witness that he's protecting. Like,
yeah,
there's,
well, they're separated for a good chunk of the movie.
Yeah, there's a fucking like long ass side mission that takes 25 minutes of screen time. It's like, what is happening in this again? But anyway, we digress.
That's neither here nor there.
It's not here nor there, because here and there is us talking about this movie.
Yeah.
So what happened even in the first episode?
I feel like this will be an easy catch up because
nothing happened.
Well, I mean, a little bit happened,
yeah,
but not a lot.
Right.
We're introduced to this character of Eraser. He's like a the guru of witness protection.
He is
apparently.
Well, yeah, we get that he is their shadow ops wing.
Yeah. He is their centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
He is the headpiece to the staff of Ra of witness.
It's going to show you right where the Ark of the Covenant is, my friends.
So he rescued a witness named Johnny from
a mob
killers, and then he's given his next assignment, which is going to be to protect this woman, Lee Cullen. That is Vanessa Williams. She works for a defense contractor named Cyrez, and she is going to be a star witness for the FBI in a case that they're working on because someone at Cyrez has been like selling secrets or weapons or something to America's enemies. We're still not sure exactly what's going on. No one knows for sure yet. But Lee Cullen goes into the Cyrez offices to try to steal some files onto a disk. She gets caught red-handed by her boss, James Cromwell, who kills himself in front of her once he realizes that he's probably
going to be implicated. Yeah.
Yeah. She runs out of there and is scooped up by the FBI and rescued just in the nick of time. And that brings us up to speed.
You killed it. Well, I guess we'll talk a little bit more about what happens now. So
I do want to talk about
it.
I feel like this is one of the movies from the twins' shared universe
of
Arnold movies that we've talked about before, where they're all happening in the same world, where they're all Julius Benedict clones.
Yeah.
On my list, I have like this movie, Commando
Junior.
Isn't he like a super genius in
he's
that movie?
He's a super genius.
I've
that,
never
like,
seen
like
Junior
he develops
before.
The technology to impregnate a man.
And does it to himself?
Correct.
Okay, so Junior, this, Commando, Predator, True Lies.
Definitely.
Probably Kindergarten Cop.
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Any movie where he's like a random U.S. law enforcement or military person, though he's clearly not from here.
Right. Not on the menu as Total Recall, just because that happens like so far in the future.
Yeah, that one probably doesn't work out. And along with some others, like the Terminator movies, they don't fall in. They're their own little universe.
But like Sixth Day?
Sure.
That can go in there.
Yeah. Anything where it's like, well, he's some dude with like these just advanced skills.
Of some kind. Across the board.
Superhuman strength and intelligence.
Right.
Yeah. All packaged in an Austrian man.
That's
but you
Canadian.
Said you felt like naming him John Kruger, all is forgiven.
That pays it off.
He's
it's like
from,
it's like
he's not from around
Kruger.
Here.
Yeah, Kruger. he's not even from around here.
He probably grew up in West Germany or West Berlin.
Yeah, during the Iron Curtain, and when it came down, he came right over to the U.S. of A. to become
over.
A law enforcement officer.
We got a perfect job for you, hiding witnesses.
Shit, that's dark. You're German, right?
Oh, shit, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, you're boy. German, right? What do you know about Nuremberg? What could you tell us about hiding witnesses?
Fucking shit.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
So put them all in Argentina.
So the action of this chapter opens up in an FBI dark site or some shit. Lee's disc that she bootlegged is bagged up and taken away by some FBI guys.
They just put that fucking loose disc in a manila envelope.
This is fine. Yeah. She is rattled, rightfully, by the events of the day and angry that she nearly got killed. The FBI brass there tell her she was warned of the risks and remind her that she came to them. She says all she did was find a clerical error and that they were the ones who were asking for help. Mm-hmm. The FBI tells her that if Cyrez is selling weapons tech, then that's high treason. Her testimony plus the evidence on the disc will be enough to put the people responsible behind bars. You've done a great service for your country, Miss Cullen. Now it's time to think about your safety. So at that moment, the elevator makes a noise like it's starting up and everyone jumps up anxiously. It's like, oh, shit, the elevator.
I will tell you, I feel like this scene was like the trailer for the movie.
Really?
Was like that and like him walking in. But it was one of the famous movie voiceover guys who was saying this song. Special Agent John Kruger is the Eraser in a world.
Yeah, in a world. So the door opens, out walks Eraser. This is U.S. Marshal John Krueger of the Witness Protection Program. He'll be handling your personal security. She seems absolutely...
Wait, remember last episode where his identity seemed to be top secret information?
Yeah, like, if I tell
even
you,
his co-workers weren't allowed to know who he was.
Yeah, this is John Krueger Mellencamp. And he's going to be taking care of you. She seems shocked to hear that she's even in danger. And is like, why do I need witness protection? So,
right?
Yeah, Eraser's like, hey, you're in some pretty deep shit. And he immediately seems like miffed that all of this has apparently not been explained to her very thoroughly. And he's like eyeing the feds menacingly. Like,
yeah.
This should have been clear from get-go.
I thought it was like some actual acting from Schwarzenegger. Yeah, like this scene, he was bringing it.
Yeah. So they explain that there are very dangerous people out there who want to silence her, and that once the trial's over, all is fine. You can go right back to the way things were.
I feel like there's no real reason to think that's
like,
true.
Yeah, well, like, especially if you look at the world today, it's like trials happen and no one's held accountable. It's
after
great.
The trial's over, you'll be perfectly safe.
What?
Bullshit. Uh-uh. Those FBI dudes were shitty, though, weren't they?
Yeah, so she's not having it. She says that, yeah, I'm fine testifying, but I'm not going to uproot my life, and I'm going to go home now. So after she walks
there's
out...
They don't let her leave, right?
No.
In a real world, they're not like, okay, what can we do?
They send her home with armed guards. They're
but
like,
they did
you
that, but I feel
nothing.
Like they would like straight restrain her.
That's what I'm saying. They wouldn't let her just like walk out.
Yeah, she'll get capped the moment she steps out of the door.
So as she walks out, the head FBI guy there orders a protective detail be stationed at her house, or they're going to need a seance to get her testimony, which I like
you
that
like
line.
That?
Yeah, I like that line. So Eraser asks who brought her in. They said she volunteered, but he interjects saying that they dropped her into this half-baked scheme without giving her the full picture. It's a lot easier to put her ass on the line than yours.
Yours.
He gives a look to all of them that says, I'm very disappointed in you.
I thought it was some of the better, like, more subtle work you'll ever see from Arnold.
Yeah, it's like, but the look was like,
he was doing
very
some of his
much
eyes.
Like, I'm very, very disappointed in you.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
So we cut to FBI headquarters. The agents have arrived to log that disc into evidence.
Yeah.
The guy who takes the disc turns around, immediately switches it out for another disc in a CD jewel case.
Immediately.
And makes a call and tells someone it's done.
He's doing that shit with his bare hands, like putting the new disc, planting a new disc.
He literally turned around from saying thanks for bringing this in to those guys and dropped it in another envelope. Like, what the fuck? Anyway.
I found myself wondering, I wonder what's on the disc that he like planted. The one that's got his fingerprints all over it. When they get that disc and they realize, like, this doesn't have the shit we thought it was going to have, what's going on here? I feel like all signs will quickly point to him.
Also, I feel like this was right before the mini disc boom, because I was like, is that a mini disc?
It was tiny. Whatever. Yeah, it was smaller than your average CD.
But then mini discs were around for, like, a year and a half, and then
Apple came with MP3s,
took over. So
yeah, he called that dude, whoever it was, and said, your music has arrived. But they're doing that thing where, like, you're talking in code.
Right.
But if someone's listening, like, if the lines are tapped, the call came from the FBI evidence locker.
Okay.
You know, like, but he's just talking about music.
Right. Like, well, we know that call didn't come from your home, sir.
Remember that shit in Raw Deal where he's like calling the crime boss's headquarters talking about my water heater's broken?
Right.
He's like, well, either way, this is clearly a coded phone call because.
Yeah. It's like, the fuck? So anyway, sometime later that night, Lee arrives home where a unit of FBI guys are keeping watch. She has a big spread. Like, she lives, like, in a farmhouse somewhere.
Yeah. Now, she was, I think, a high-ranking executive at the company. So
okay, well,
she might be making bank like that.
Maybe she just bought that house to, like, fix it up or whatever. So inside, she pulls the duplicate disc from her purse, pops it into her personal computer. Unfortunately, she can't open the files, and it seems like the files can only be viewed behind the firewall inside Cyrus. That's
she
convenient.
She couldn't get that disc into her own home computer fast enough.
No. She had a mission. She was probably hoping that she could, like, if she could print it out and then just hand it over, maybe she wouldn't need to testify. Maybe she wouldn't be in as much danger. I can see how you'd want to give, like, here's the physical evidence. I don't want to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, you can just say, you know, someone turned it over.
Wouldn't she likely know that she wouldn't be able to run the disc at home?
If she's an executive, not necessarily. If she's just an accountant, which I feel like that's all she is an accountant.
Okay.
She's like not even the CFO. She's just like a high ranking member of the financial team. Because later on in the movie, she's like, all I can tell you is like what the financial shit looks like, because that's what I saw. But they, I wish that they had paid that off more.
It made me wonder how the FBI was ever going to figure out what's on the disc.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
if they
it has to be, but I mean, they have
subpoenas they can get in, and
yeah, they would
get force Cyrez to open it.
Exactly. Or, you know, bring us part of your server. Like, I don't even know, like, what's possible. So anyway, meanwhile, over at Cyrez headquarters, a creepy IT guy receives an alert that someone is trying to access the files remotely and calls someone named Mr. Morehart.
That dude was rocking like the long ponytail.
He looked like a record store clerk. Like he's gonna give you some good recs on some like shoegaze from the late 90s.
Have you heard My Bloody Valentine?
Exactly. It's some punk. So anyway, back at Lee's place, seemingly at a dead end with the disc, she goes straight to her phone and calls her friend Claire, who is a reporter.
What part of her being in serious danger does she not understand?
Yeah, she's like, she's you just can't like, just be calling all
let
these
me run,
people.
Let me try running the disc. Oh, that didn't work. Well, let me call my, like, let me.
Let me call a good bosom friend of mine.
You know people are probably listening to this shit.
Yeah,
you
would
to.
Assume, like, and also, why doesn't she have a cell phone? We get that they're established in this movie as existing.
Yeah, she's wealthy, I feel.
She would have a cell phone.
For sure.
So anyway, she tells her friend Claire that she should have listened to her, first of all, and not trusted the FBI. We hear some weird electrical noise. Lee looks out her window and sees feds in the car watching her. Claire says if she'll tell her story, she'll put Cyrez on blast on the front page of the newspaper. Lee warns that it may not be safe to talk on the phone.
Like, no shit.
2 minutes too late.
If the bad guys aren't listening, the FBI certainly is.
Yeah.
As you talk about having, you know, you're going to tell your story to the press.
Right. As luck would have it, a cut outside of the car reveals that the two FBI guys posted just outside have been killed.
Oh, shit.
We then see several bad guys begin to swarm around Lee's house. Inside, Lee says she'll call Claire later. Claire's like, hey, did you make a copy? Lee's like, yeah. Giving up all the goods on the phone, baby.
How is this conversation
also,
still
like,
happening?
Don't you, like, Claire would not ask that question.
She shouldn't.
She would have said, let's meet in the diner down the street in a half hour.
Well, it's like, I don't think it's safe to talk on this phone. Did you make a copy of the disc? Hell yes, I did.
What's your blood type? What have you touched recently?
Yeah, this shit's crazy.
So Claire says, hey, that copy of the disc is your insurance. And if you go public, no one's going to harm you. Why does everyone think that? You go public, no one's going to harm you. Have they never? It's like when you go public, you may as well kill yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
These people can definitely get to you anywhere.
And the feds clearly just, they don't care. You are expendable.
They sent two dudes in like a late model sedan to watch
your
back.
Sign of the times. So just then Lee hears a door creak and and she like hears the door close and it's all upstairs in her house. And so she's like, I got to go.
That's also to me insane. I'm in tremendous danger. I think I heard someone upstairs. I got to go.
Better go check it out.
Better go check it out.
I would leave. Let me leave the house.
Let me get off the phone and go check it out.
Suspenseful music builds, but the only thing that comes down the stairs is Daryl.
Some dude named Daryl pops out
from around the corner pulling on
another
pajamas.
Another super memorable like 90s actor.
Yeah.
Dude's name was Silk, spelled C-Y-L-K.
What else have we
Silk
talked about him
Cozart.
In being in lately?
I remember him well in White Man Can't Jump.
Okay.
But he was in Conspiracy Theory. He was in a memorable episode of Saved by the Bell, but aren't they all memorable?
yes, they are.
But yeah, he pops out pulling on his silken pajamas.
Yeah, so Lee's irate that her apparent ex-boyfriend has let himself into her house.
But under what circumstances would it be appropriate to let yourself into your ex's place and like bathe?
Never. Not once. But also, you and I are not insane. There are a lot of crazy people out there that do shit like this.
I thought it was a Boss movie pulled where he's like, well, I was worried
about
you.
I was worried about you.
I haven't heard from you in a few days. Like, yeah, that's what breaking up looks
and
like.
I came over here to talk and decided I'd clean up before because I'd been at the gym. What the fuck? Yeah, he says he came over because he was worried. He hadn't heard from her. She says, yeah, there's nothing left to talk about. It's over. That's how breakups work. Meanwhile, outside, we see one of the bad guys is preparing to use some futuristic looking gun. And it is wild. It's got a cord you pull out like an old hair dryer, and you plug it in to a thing that charges up another thing. And it also has a scope that can apparently see through, and you can dial it in and out different kinds of solid surfaces to the point to where you can see vital organs inside, and oh, it'll lock onto a beating heart. That's so stupid.
This dude was wasting a lot of time like just playing around with the technology, wasn't he?
Did he just get it? I don't know. Anyway.
I thought the x-ray shit, it is cool.
Yeah, very cool.
It's not that useful, though, when you can't actually see what person it is, though, that you're aiming at.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, all I see is skeletal figures.
Because you can't hear. You can't tell who's talking. Like, if one guy's talking to another guy, you can't tell, was that the guy I'm supposed to kill?
If it was a crowded room, this would be, like, useless.
Yeah, absolutely useless. So, Lee and Daryl continue their conversation, giving us some exposition about how their relationship ended. Outside, the assassin locates them in the kitchen, zooms in on one of the skeleton's heart, prepares to pull the trigger, but just then a van pulls into the driveway. The assassin ducks down. The van driver gets out, retrieves a massive bouquet of balloons from the back of the van.
Whoever could it be?
Yeah, yeah.
But why is he coming in disguise?
I don't know. None of these guys know who he is.
There's no reason for him to be disguised.
I guess maybe... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, there's no reason at this point.
Under any circumstances, I'm going to be the balloon delivery guy. How much time did he spend... Wait, I know a guy.
Well, you probably
Let me stop off and pick up a bouquet of balloons.
On Thursdays, I'm balloon guy.
Have a bouquet standing by.
Blow up all the balloons. I need about 10 balloons. So inside, Daryl's accusing Lee of seeing someone else. Toxic. when the doorbell rings, he's immediately like, oh, let's see who that is.
Right. He's assuming that, it's got to be the other guy.
So at that moment, the assassin pops back up into position. As Daryl opens the door, Eraser barges in, telling him to get down. He throws himself onto Lee, knocking her backward. A strange bullet tears through the house, leaving this odd, like, it looks like Matrix bullet time.
It was like those like rings of smoke sort of shit.
Yeah, like where you couldn't tell if it was supposed to be an effect just to show movement or if it was actual smoke. Like, I couldn't tell what it was supposed to be. But a second shot rings out, hits Daryl, flings him clear across the fucking room.
Awesome.
Eraser does not like what he sees, hurries Lee through the house, ducking and narrowly avoiding the strange gunfire, which is odd because the guy can see them. If he knows they're moving, why not just aim a few feet ahead? And by the time they get there, it kills them.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Right?
You're right.
Anyway.
I can't argue with that.
So instead, he's just like firing blindly, or not blindly, but firing the moving thing. But by the time it gets there.
Maybe there's a little like lag on the trigger pull.
Anyway, she says it travels at the speed of light. There's no way he's missing. I call bullshit on all this.
If anything, his shot should be going in front of them, not behind them, because he's
but
like...
Also, there ain't no way.
No.
Like, speed of light? Like, no. We would have already been to Mars and back, like, in a couple of days.
Hundreds of thousands of miles per second?
Yeah.
Not that fast.
Not happening like that. So, Eraser tips the fridge over. They hide behind it. The gun scope doesn't seem to be able to see through the fridge.
Yeah, what is this, like a lead lined or something? It's like Superman technology.
How old is the refrigerator that's still lead lined?
Maybe it's an antique.
It doesn't look an antique. But anyway, he's like, I don't have a shot. Another bad guy.
Don't you think the gunman might suspect that they're behind the tipped over refrigerator?
You can tell that it's her refrigerator.
Yeah, like, so you can see like the coils
like,
in the
back. Why not take a shot through the refrigerator?
They disappeared, and now all I see is a tipped over refrigerator.
All right, well, light the refrigerator up. Exactly, yeah. So anyway... Another bad guy, Boggs from Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, and Drake from Aliens.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has a tiny, tiny little, I guess, a mortar.
Bazooka-looking
thing? It's
like
a mortar-like thing.
Yeah.
It looks like you just put the handles against your hip and just let the thing fire, which is crazy. But he launches a projectile through the window. This thing is crazy. It's like this. It looks like a pill capsule.
Sure.
It comes to rest in the middle of the room and then just stands up on end like it's magnetized to the wooden floor or whatever. I don't know. Eraser gets one look at it, seems to know his trouble, flings the refrigerator door open for additional cover, like he knows he's going to need it.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing pops up into the air and bursts, spraying shrapnel, but they all look like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 inch, like spiral wood screws
like
or
picture,
something.
Yeah, picture like drill, like a drill bit or like a corkscrew almost sort of thing, but god damn, yeah.
So these things shoot out in all directions. One goes through Eraser's hand, sticks into the refrigerator. He like in pain. The hitmen grin.
Damn,
because
that shit would hurt.
Because it took like you would be able to see layers of meat on the coils of the screw. There should have been flesh hanging off of that screw.
Yeah.
Anyway, the hitmen, Boggs, he smiles. They all move in on the house. Inside, Eraser hears people approaching, rips his hand off the barb. That's what I'm saying. There
would
just
couldn't,
be
that
skin,
would fuck
flesh,
you up, man.
All kinds of, like, everything attached to that thing. He then rips, he, like, thinks fast, rips the gas line out of the wall and cranks the thermostat past 80. Lee asks, what are you doing? And he says, lighting a fuse.
She obviously hasn't seen many action movies.
Yeah,
because
like, she's been very busy doing math for corporations. As the assassins enter the house, Eraser guides Lee safely out. You notice what the back of his uniform says?
Is it party time?
It says, let's party.
Let's party.
His line from Commando.
Yes.
Let's party. So
Bennett, let's party.
Let's party. So some bad guys kick in the back door, but only run into the goon with a super gun. They also become wise to the fact that, hey, there's gas leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Just then the thermostat sparks because you can't turn it up that high. What? Why?
Does it, no, I feel like when I feel like it would have sparked earlier, but I think there is like a little like when you hear it click to come on, you know, when you turn it off.
But not blue lightning.
The blue lightning.
Not blue lightning. Anyway,
yeah,
they show
no,
like
shouldn't
a
have
tiny blue
out.
Lightning bolt. The thing sparks out. The goon with the super gun yells for everyone to get out. There's a huge explosion. Eraser and Lee make it out as the house goes up and narrowly miss getting decapitated by the front door. Boggs opens fire on them as they tear ass out of there in the van.
Dude, I love when the van like fishtailed and clipped the mailbox.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
pretty like precision driving by a stuntman.
After making sure that Lee's okay, Eraser tells her they're going to be fine, but that she needs to be calm and that he's going to keep her alive.
Never a great move to tell an upset woman to calm down.
Just calm down.
Just calm.
I'm going to keep you alive.
I'm a man, you're a woman, and you need to calm down. That's a good way to get smacked.
Yeah, there's a line we'll talk about later in the thing. But anyway, Lee says things are definitely not fine, pointing out the obvious, that they, whoever they are, tried to kill her, and that they did kill ex-boyfriend Daryl.
Eraser says, paid a little lip service to the death of Daryl.
Yeah. Eraser says, yeah, but you're alive, and I'll keep it that way. Which, I guess, find some solace in that. R.I.P. Daryl. That's when Lee notices Eraser's fucked up hand. He tells her to pull out the first aid kit that's in the van while she's doing that. He asks if the gun back at the house was a Syrah's toy. She says it's an EM pulse weapon, electromagnetic pulse weapon prototype, that's not even supposed to exist. While working on his hand, she explains more about the gun. She says no gunpowder, no conventional bullets. They fire aluminum rounds at almost the speed of light, which we call bullshit on that.
Yeah.
He says, you're talking about the rail gun.
You're talking about the rail gun.
Yeah. Yes, that's another name for him. He says the Navy has been working on them for years. The smallest one he's ever heard of was mounted on a battleship. She says Syrah's had been contracted to scale them down to a design that was compact hypervelocity, the most powerful assault rifle on Earth, and that the company took millions. And then we're like, oh, well, the physics are impossible, though.
This million seems like a low ball offer.
Well, yeah, at this point,
something
like
even,
that. Even at that time, even in the mid-90s.
That's a billion-dollar contract,
definitely.
The technology, like, it, we'll talk about it, I
it
guess.
Seems
but
like, it,
kinda,
it seems
it
like
it
should
exist.
RoboCop. The gun in RoboCop? The
RoboCop's pistol?
No, no. The rifles that they have. The rifles that they carry around to blow up cars and shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah,
the same kind of
that...
gun. Same gun.
This shit is like legit, though, the railgun. It's a thing. They're like still in development, like, or whatever. They haven't, but it is like, I don't think it doesn't approach the speed of light, but it is like four something times faster than the speed of sound that it'll like shoot a round.
So you shoot it and you don't hear it until it's too late, or you're dead and you never hear it.
But I don't see, like, as I understand it, they'd be useful for a long range strikes or for shooting missiles out of the sky.
Right.
It said like, cause it'll fly
but
a
man,
lot faster than the
but
missile.
But still, you've got to, like, I know it's a powerful weapon, but it's like, you got to know how to line your shots up. Like, because the missile's moving in your stationary, you gotta shoot 400 yards in front of it for it to hit by the time.
I imagine it would all be computerized.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
All that shit would be computerized.
Isn't that scary?
I was reading about the rail guns, and they said they were talking about some test they did where they shot it through like a sheet of metal, you know, like an eighth inch thick sheet of metal, and found the projectile like 4 miles further away. Like, it had gone through the sheet of metal and flown another 4 miles.
That's nuts.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, that is nuts.
I love that it's like,
Based on some science.
There's very little in this movie that's original, but at least they're showing us something that's kind of like new, like future tech that's based in reality.
Totally. Eraser says, well, it looked real enough to me, and maybe Cyrus found a higher bidder. So then she says they're connected everywhere. Defense, CIA, NSA, maybe even your people for all we know. Dun, dun, dun.
Your people? Witness protection?
Yeah. For all we know. Witness protection, like, took this movie.
I'm thinking
this
about
movie
like...
raised their profile big time. So Eraser asks if she still wants to bring down Cyrus and those involved. And she's like, hell yeah. So he says, I'm going to hide you until the hearings and no one but me will know where you are, including my own people.
Right.
He says the FBI knew that this was a death sentence for her and that they still let her do it, which was some bullshit. And she kicks herself for being so dumb. Eraser says her only mistake was trusting them, but that now she needs to trust him. So they drive off into the night. Back at Cyrez, the dude Morehart, who we really don't know
seen
who
him
he
before.
Is yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only heard his name. He calls a guy in a swanky D.C. office. To me, he immediately looks, he's a politician. Like, I'm like, the guy's a politician.
Oh, yeah, some sort of bureaucratic dude.
So, and says, sir, we have a problem. Lee survived. So the politician guy is pissed and gets even angrier when he learns that Lee has another copy of the disc and tried to access the program.
Wait. Despite the shadowy dude's assurance that this line is secure, there's no way the FBI is not tapping all calls in and out of Cyrez.
No. Yeah. Good call.
They were like, they're just having this conversation openly. Don't worry, the line's secure.
Unless there's somebody in the FBI that also is just
we've seen that the FBI has already been bought off, I guess.
Right,
so.
But it's like, remove the tab. So it's not hard to believe that maybe
and
that
you know
surveillance would have been taken.
That
off.
Shit strikes me as realistic.
Yeah.
Like, they just make a call and be like, yeah, we're doing some shit, so you need to kill that investigation.
Yeah.
Because this is national security.
It's the way it works, man.
Yeah.
It's the system we're living in. So the politician guy, he is in possession of the disc that was smuggled out of the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the music. He has the music.
Yes.
So he tells this Morehart character to get the extra disc and to get rid of Lee, whatever it takes. Morehart says roger that, but then drops another little nugget that they checked Lee's phone records and that she also made a call to her friend, the reporter. The guy tells Morehart that he knows, hey, you know what you need to do. Just go do it. Get it done. They hang up. At that moment, a dude in a military uniform enters the politician's office and says, the Joint Chiefs are ready, Mr. Undersecretary.
Oh, shit. Roar?
Undersecretary, I'm going to just refer to him as that, tells the guy he'll be right there. The soldier leaves, and Undersecretary snaps the disc in half. We cut to a farmhouse or a cabin somewhere.
Yeah.
There's smoke rising from the chimney.
Oh, it's John Matrix.
Yeah, John Matrix is spread in California. Lee watches sadly as all of her IDs being burned in the fire. That's it. That's everything I am. Eraser tries to, you know, comfort her. He's like, no, that's nothing. It's a few numbers and some plastic.
Do
who
you really?
Is in here? And no one can take that from you.
But do you really need to fully destroy the shit? Like, burn it? I mean... It seems like later on, presumably when she could maybe resume her life at some point, you don't, there's
this
no need
to. This is 1996. We're talking like minimal surveillance in most post offices even.
Yeah.
So why not put it in a PO box?
You don't need to burn the Social Security
card. Or a safety deposit box.
That was odd to me. It seemed overkill.
Yeah.
It was
supposed to be, I guess, just like, oh shit, she's leaving it all behind for a cause or some bullshit. Anyway, she points out that they're going to try, whoever they are, they're going to try, but he says, we're going to stop them.
We're going to stop
them. He says, I'm going to need everything. She's like, that is everything. He's like, no, give me your necklace. She says...
He went and like physically lifted it off her bosom.
That was odd. Boundaries.
I don't see how the necklace is an issue either, though. Like...
An identifying
isn't the
artifact.
Issue that she looks like Vanessa Williams? Like they yeah. know what she looks like. I don't think they're. It looks just like her, but is she wearing a Saint Christopher medal
I don't know,
or
but
whatever?
That's the thing is like any identifying artifact. She says it's Saint George because when she was a child,
Saint George,
she was afraid of dragons. And if any of you are up on your English. Like British Isles legends, St. George and the Dragon is a big one.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Yeah, St. George is like one of the main patron saints of the United Kingdom. And,
cool.
and like St. George and the Dragon is like one of their chief legends. I can't remember, like A Beast in the Questing Pool is an Arthur legend. I don't think St. George and the Dragon is an Arthur legend, but it is an old English legend.
Shout out, Jacqueline.
Yeah. Hey, Jacqueline, what up, girl? So Eraser says, she says that she always assumed that like St. George protected her when she was a kid.
Yeah, I didn't know there was like a legit thing behind that. I'm just like, all right.
So Eraser says that it's his job now to protect her, not St. George, that fuck, and urges her to get some sleep because they're out of there come daybreak. So cut to the next morning, Eraser and Lee drive into New York City in a badass Ford Bronco.
You're digging that shit.
Always,
I love the 80s. I love those 80s 4x4s, man.
Oh, dude, I was driving around. Maybe I hadn't even left Atlanta yet, but I saw like one of those like old school badass like. FJ Cruisers, those old Toyotas.
Oh, yeah, dude, those are rad. Those are even
sick.
Cooler than Broncos, man.
Yeah, agreed.
I was watching, I put on Deliverance earlier, and Burt Reynolds was driving some kind of badass fucking 70s SUV. I was like, Jesus Christ, that thing
probably
is
one of those old FJs. Man. So the camera pans up to reveal the bustling streets of Chinatown, which... we see
very
a tiny
smoky.
Yeah, like we see this multiple times in this movie. It's like something nearby is like
on
someone,
fire.
Someone's like burning. They've burned the duck. The duck.
So
is,
the fireworks. Yeah. All the fireworks have ignited. Yeah.
So
at the fireworks stand.
In a VO, Eraser is telling Lee and us that he knows a place where it's going to be easy to disappear. The plan is to drop her off with a woman that he's helped out before, and the woman's going to hide Lee until the hearings.
Don't you think, isn't that putting that other woman at tremendous risk?
I said, this seems to fly in the face of everything that we know at this point, just from this movie about Witsec rules and his personal code.
Yeah.
It's like, he would never do that. Like, why would you do that?
What was also weird was he said, you know,
why would you put two witnesses in danger?
Yes. If either one gets found, they probably both die. But I thought it was weird. He said that this woman, you know, she testified against the Yakuza in San Francisco. Now she's living as a Chinese woman in New York. I don't know if she was always Chinese or if she's a Japanese woman, but now she's been taking up this role as a Chinese woman.
This is some light racism because any Chinese person will probably see her and be like, well, she's not Chinese.
Yeah. Why not just if, and I'm not, I don't have that keen of an eye, but like if she is Chinese, like why not make her like she testified against the Tongs or something?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. Because Yakuza, they're like, well, these fucking American idiots have watched enough movies where they're going to be familiar with the word Yakuza. That means mob in Japanese.
Yakuzas are really hot right now.
Yeah, Yakuzas are so high right now. Yeah, like this, like the tongue. Like,
it
have
was
you
just,
not
it
seen
was
The
strange.
Trouble
it
Little
was,
China? Yeah. It's a strange choice. I agree with you. So he also sets her up with a new identity, Deborah Elliott. Is that how you think of me? This is humorous. As a Deborah. I don't know. I guess I could have used something more fun like Debbie, Deb.
Oof, that was bad acting from Schwarzenegger.
But also, his hand seems to be healing up no problem. We get a close-up of his wounded hand like sausage fingers punching numbers in the thing, and it's just like there's a tiny little pinprick hole.
Dot. I was gonna say
no
that
stitches, no nothing.
Earlier, when she was giving him a little first aid, I was like,
"She's not qualified.
Enjoy this while you can, because we are never going to hear about that hurt hand again.
Yeah, no trip to the emergency room. Anyway.
Dude, that would fuck your shit up.
There's nerve damage. Severe.
You would not be able to move your hand for weeks, probably, after some shit like that happened. That went through bone and fucking tendons.
He practices mindfulness. So.
Mind over matter, baby.
That's right.
But, dude, that was good ass acting, I thought, from Vanessa Williams, though, pretending her pretending like Arnold sold that joke.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. Deb? Dude, I think there was some meant to be like a romantic angle between the two of them. And it is not there, though.
I think even at this point, like, how old is she? 20 something, right? Or was she already in her 30s at
this
point?
She won Miss America. Let's say she was 20 in like 83. Okay, she'd probably be like mid-30s.
Okay, gotcha. So, but I mean, still, it's
She looked fucking incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And she always has, but it's like, come on.
Yeah, it's just...
Arnold is not everyone's bag. And you and I have talked about this a lot. It's like, Arnold is not even a conventionally handsome-looking man. He is sort of...
Cro-Magnon.
He has very... like early human characteristics.
Neanderthal man. But thankfully, I feel like it seems like the filmmakers realized it wasn't working and didn't try to force it.
And pulled it back. They dialed it back. Just like they probably did in Commando with...
They didn't film the sex scene on the airplane
in
Commando.
This is your new mom.
This is your mommy.
So... Eraser then Eraser goes to the plan. He says, if there's an emergency, I'm going to page you 911. And this is a blast from the past.
Yeah, man.
And you're to go to a designated payphone at the zoo and wait for me to call.
We've talked about pagers before, right? Oh, yeah. On this podcast. Yeah. You had one?
I had one.
Yeah, you had one late in the game.
I had one like second, third year in undergrad. Like parents, like 2003, parents like, beat me back in 911, and I was like, they put in 911, and I call them. They're like, "Are you gonna be home for dinner this weekend?" It's like, "Fuck,
we're making spaghetti.
What the fuck are you doing to me right now? Where have you been? Hanging out? Like, fuck."
I love that.
Jesus. You were,
and for all your illicit drug deals, of course. But I had one for sure in high school, a little like. Jelly, like blue, you could sort of see through it to the inner workings. And man, you
had
felt
one
like
of those nice pages.
You felt like a Mac Daddy though when you got your page from your like girlfriend or whatever, and or send you a little code you had to decipher. The
worst
the
was
code.
Being like just in a way on a date with a woman, and then beep, 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 beep. It's like fucking hell, Gina.
Dealer.
Come on, Gina. God. So anyway. He also like drives home the point that he's like, hey, I work alone. So if anyone approaches you saying that I sent them, you need to bust a cap with this sweet ass tiny, tiny 38 snub nose. So this is the second time in the movie.
That's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
What if he had a heart attack and like someone else was taking over his... witnesses and like, hey, I'm with the witness. Bam, then she blows their brains
then
out.
You have to think that there's a paper trail that says, in case of emergencies, here's my protocol. Here are the steps you need to take to reassure my witnesses that you're legit.
I guess if he had the power of speech, he could like speak to them and say, hey, it's Eraser.
Right.
It's Mr.
Hey,
Eraser.
Hey, buddy, Eraser here. Yeah, so this is the second time in the movie so far where I've noticed that Arnold seems to be regressing in his English pronunciation.
Yeah.
He seems to be laboring against his Austrian heritage.
He's fighting. He's battling that accent.
Yeah. Well, I marvel at the fact, and I think it's budgetary constraints. It's like someone's written a script, but it's like, I feel like at this point in time, a decade into his fame, a decade plus, that like hire a fucking script doctor that's going to be able to like tailor the script for words that he can speak well.
Was there something specific that came
it
to
just,
mind that
all
he was
of this
struggling
is just
on?
The way that it was like a little elisions and things. It's like when he's on, he's able to like pronounce the words and there's a separation. And in this, it felt like the way the script was written, words were just kind of running into each other. And some of those like the R's and the other things were like running, like popping up.
He needed Steve D'Souza.
Yes. Yes.
The Arnold,
don't we all need,
the Arnold Whisperer.
I feel like we still need Steve D'Souza. So she says, I guess I won't see you again. And he says, not if everything goes well, which, duh.
It's, of course not,
it's not gonna. So she looks down at the gun that he's given her as he walks out. So we cut to a WNN news update. While Lee's preparing dinner, she overhears a story about Undersecretary of Defense Daniel Harper speaking in front of Congress about the controversial CSIRES scandal. In his remarks, Undersecretary defends the DOD's relationship with CSIRES, saying there's nothing unusual about it, and that he's confident that everyone's going to be vindicated of wrongdoing.
Did you notice that whoever did like the sound work for the movie added a big applause after
his
I'm like, you don't get applause when you're just addressing Congress.
Not a congressional hearing, friends. So
it also seemed like Lee is only just now realizing the depth of the shit that she's gotten herself into.
Agreed. So cut to a diner where a couple of shady looking goons at a table are given the stink eye to a racer who notices them noticing him as he sips his coffee.
I noticed you noticing me.
Yeah, I couldn't help but notice you noticing me. So DeGaren enters, sits down, thanks Eraser for meeting him. Eraser immediately is like, this is highly irregular. First thing out of Eraser's mouth, he's like, not comfortable meeting like this. So DeGaren says it's not his choice. It's an emergency. Eraser wants to know if the guy's scoping him out or working for DeGaren. DeGaren's like sheepishly like affirms, like waves at the guy. The guys are like embarrassed.
You know, the one who does Billy Bedlam.
Yes. From Con Air. So DeGaren's.
So now that I've seen him in two things. Now.
I know. He's like, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. So DeGaren says, we've got a problem. Three witnesses killed in the past 48 hours. And the common thread is that they were all witnesses in high profile federal cases with international ties.
Now, a little spoiler alert. Do we, so the Garen we've mentioned already, I guess, is a, is proves himself to be a bad guy. Do we reckon that the other three witnesses, were there really three witnesses killed? Or is this just a bullshit story they're feeding to Eraser?
I would not be surprised if they were like, choose three, we'll kill them, because we need the backstory.
Okay. I'll go along with that. It seems like they're doing some reckless shit in the next days or whatever here.
Definitely. So Eraser guesses the only possibility is a leak within WITSEC.
Yep.
No fucking shit. So DeGaren says there's reason to believe that we have isolated six other witnesses that may also be targeted. Gives no further information.
Yeah, he's like
one of them is yours.
They're involved in international cases.
Yeah, one of them's yours and one of them's mine. Well, that's convenient. DeGaren also says, we have to go in person to relocate them immediately. We've got a jet refueling standing by. What the hell? This is a fucking side mission. This, as soon as this happened, I was like, what's this movie about again?
Yeah, like, this is, advances the story very
shoddily.
Very shoddily.
Like, so Eraser says, well, I've always worked alone. DeGaren says, not today, you don't. Eraser's
then
like,
he mentions,
okay.
He mentions, you know, we got CIA escorts and we got our own guys. And it's my understanding, I don't know, well, first of all, do we ever see anyone that seems like they're CIA on this?
No.
But second of all, it's my understanding that, like, CIA agents don't operate on U.S. soil. It's all overseas shit.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
And like the FBI does domestic shit.
Yeah.
And the CIA is like our international...
I'm not sure about the hierarchy. I'm sure that there are some...
Now, some shit probably happens.
Some shadow op CIA guys that stick here.
Some shit happens, but that's not how it's supposed to be.
Right, exactly. So Eraser's like, fine. But says, just to like... cover his base. He's like, we'll do your witness first. Which,
it seems like he's already doesn't trust this for some reason.
Well, I mean, he's been taught not to, and I feel like DeGaren probably knows that. But also, it's like this whole cat and mouse thing between the two of them, to me,
wasn't working.
It doesn't really work. Like,
okay.
It needed to be more subtle, and I feel like it's overt from jump. Anyway, so we cut to an airport. There's a plane on a tarmac being prepped for takeoff. Eraser and DeGaren roll up. And
I thought
was it the same
mystical U.S. Marshals airstrip as Con Air?
Yeah, in Oakland. Yeah. So Eraser and DeGaren roll up. DeGaren introduces him to the guys from the diner. That's Calderon and Schiff. Calderon is Billy Bedlam.
Yes.
Agent Calderon, that's Nick Chunlin. Yeah, shows Eraser a file and asks if he recognizes the woman. It's Lee's friend Claire, who we saw in the phone conversation, right, from the Washington Herald, a fictitious newspaper. Calderon tells him that Claire was a reporter doing a story on Cyrez and that she could have been a connection to Lee until she got killed. Peeled her like an onion. If she knew anything, she talked.
He was
That's
like,
gruesome. He was fucking, those lines.
He was getting off on relaying that story.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
if she knew anything, she talked.
Oh. So
unlike Billy Bedlam when he was going through Cage of Shit, and he's like, Oh, yeah. Peeled her like an onion. First of all, Eraser, clearly disapproved of Calderon's, cavalier attitude. He sort of looks at DeGaron, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
But also, spoiler alert, Calderon is also a bad guy. Do you think, I almost get the impression from the reading that he gave of that line that he might have killed Claire personally.
Ooh, that's a great point.
Peeled her like an onion. If she knew anything, she talked.
And I masturbated right after
on the corpse.
Definitely. Okay. That's dark, but yeah.
No, I is nuts.
No, that's an excellent point, is that they had killed these people to be like, well, we got to do something to get it going, to get the ball rolling. So another agent, Monroe, that's Danny Nucci, who is just ubiquitous in this late 90s period, because I think, number one, he's super youthful, even though he was older. Like, he was probably in his mid 30s when he played this role.
Sure.
But he was a Lieutenant Shepard in The Rock and Fabrizio in Titanic.
Yeah.
Like, just very youthful looking guy.
It was crazy. He was in, he had a very memorable role in Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
And to think, this was the peak of how high he would go.
That's the thing.
It seemed like he was still on his ascension.
We need to follow the.
And then Titanic was it.
We need to follow the Cobra Kai formula and write a movie that brings all these character actors that were just crushing the game at the time and bring them in to do the hard work of being the lead guys. And that's not to say that being a character actor is not hard work. I'm just saying to.
No, they're doing the heavy lifting.
I mean, to do the vaunted work, I guess, is a better word, of being the lead actor.
The lead guy.
Yeah, Fabrizio from Titanic shows him around the plane. He says that they have three of these planes in various parts of the country for quick relocations and for occasional transporting of violent criminals, which is essentially the plot of Con Air.
It's Con Air, dude.
Yeah.
What was up with the red light they had inside the little cell?
Yeah.
Did you notice that was the fucking, like... They're keeping the whoppers warm and burning.
Exactly. It's the heater. So Calderon, Billy Bedlam, ironically points out that it's that they're a chauffeur service for degenerates. He then asks Eraser, he's like, hey, do you ever get tired of babysitting scum? And then in what I felt like was a jokey delivery, Eraser's like, yeah, but in your case, I'll make an exception. But Calderon was like, I don't appreciate that.
Well, it was a little overly familiar at best.
Yeah.
But I also thought maybe Eraser was just being
from
a
different time.
You
break everyone's balls is the thing, and maybe Calderon's like, "Well, I'm sensitive.
This is a man's world, so we break balls around
here." He asked DeGaron, "Who the hell does this guy think he is?" And DeGaron says, "Him? Well, he thinks he's the best guy in the game. I think he's right. Try not to piss him off, okay?"
That was another super memorable line from when I was rewatching. That I was like,
"What? So it's so nonchalant. It's so natural.
Yeah,
it's everything he says is just like."
Just natural charisma, easy.
Calderon is nonplussed by this response and goes to sit his ass down. The last shot of this episode is of the plane taking off, destination unknown.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
In a world.
In a world. Idea. What's going to happen? No one fucking knows.
No one knows. No one's known since they last watched this movie.
All I
roughly.
Can think is Vanessa Williams is not going to die. But other than that, it's anyone's guess.
Imagine that plot twist. He loses his witness.
Yeah, Vanessa gets shot mid-movie and it's like, oh, fuck.
that would break the formula for sure. But if you want to know what's really going to happen next, you're just going to have to tune in.
Or else.
Friends.
We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
We'll be back.